first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast, show 85.
85?
Yeah, that's got to be some sort of landmark.
1985, great year.
Was it?
Was you born there?
Have you got an 85 stat? Just that, that you
just
were born?
Just that you were born in 85.
Oh, 1985, Dan Silver was born, that's not the stat. Ashley Cole made it, was it his 21st appearance in tournament finals?
In 1985?
Finals? No, last night, for England. Yes. He made his 21st.
97th overall.
Well, he's made 97 caps. He's the only England player to have made exactly 85 caps, is Gary Neville.
Is it?
Yep. Right. 85 caps, sandwiched by Ray Wilkins on 84 and Kenny Sansom on 86.
Lucky man.
Who wouldn't like to get sandwiched by them?
Well, exactly. Around the top, we've got Jerome Mundell.
Hello.
We've got Dan Silva.
Hello.
Stuart Hoare, Sean Miller. Coxon's not here, and I wrote that intro about 85 especially for him, because he does love a bit of Gary Neville, and he's not here. Which is very disappointing for him.
Is that so?
And the show's already started with Sean Miller handing over £10.
Yeah.
Which was a bet that he made rather drunkenly on the first night of the tournament.
I don't even remember it.
You don't remember it? That was the first night of the group stages.
Well, I didn't record that. Stupid joke.
Honest, mate, I'd never remembered it apart from listening to the review, which I'm kind of a bit upset I did, because it's a bit painful towards the end of the
year. Yeah,
I think we might have had a few too many beers by
that point. I think so, yeah. But
anyway, we move on. Fantastic. That represented the start of the group stages. Today, we are recording this on Wednesday, the 20th of June, and last night represented the end of the group stages.
Certainly did, and it ended quite well, didn't it, Jim?
Yeah, let's talk about England first.
Right.
7 points and group winners.
No, more than happy with that.
Yeah.
Stuart, what were you thinking before the tournament? We didn't really get your thoughts. You've been missing for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
he's missing every week.
Yeah, but at least he's here this week, so he's got potential to say something. You would have been happy with just going through as runners up, wouldn't you?
Definitely, mate.
And after the France game, did you?
That was probably going to be the biggest test, wasn't it? So to draw with them, the other two you would have probably expected.
Yeah, although they didn't play great against Ukraine, by all accounts, and obviously they've lost to Sweden as well. But we'll move on to that. We'll go for an order. So the last time we were with you, we were talking on the 13th of June. So it was a week ago today.
Yeah,
we were talking about Denmark, Portugal, and Holland, Germany. Looking forward to those games.
Yep.
Denmark, Portugal, 2-3. Notable for a certain instance.
Yeah. Good old Nicholas Bentner.
Are we shooting straight onto Naughty Boys of the Week then?
No, we're going through each game, Dan. You weren't here last week. We're going to go through each game. So if you've got anything to mention on the games that we've as we go through, or indeed your performance of the week is included in those games, then shout it out. Be proud about it.
Well, I just did, didn't I?
What, Bentner's your Naughty Boy of the Week?
Yeah.
We don't do Naughty Boys of the Week. We do one standout performance. Is Bentner getting your
Naughty Boy of the Week? We always do Naughty Boy of the Week.
That's his own section. Standout performance. Was it Nick Bentner for getting his pants out? Okay, and then we shall move on. Anyone else got anything to say?
I need to reread the rules and guidelines.
Yeah, you should
do. Realize,
yeah,
should mate, do. Sorry.
But anyway, Portugal steamed into a 2-0 lead, and it looked like it was going to be all over, to be honest, didn't it? And then Nicky Bentner with a couple of decent goals.
Well,
was it the first one or the second one he got his pants out for?
Second one.
All right. And then Varela. And the key thing about that game, I don't know if you remember, Ronaldo missing
two or
three really good chances. And everyone was like, well, Ronaldo's rubbish. And then we'll fast forward on a few days in a minute. And then Germany-Holland, which was the game we were all looking forward to. And on the podcast last week, we were all massively looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It was an okay game, but I mean, Holland's... It didn't really show much, did it?
Van Persie's turn and bang from about 20 yards, but
which
Gomez's
I love.
Turn.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, it wasn't.
His
was
second finish as well was an absolutely. Do you remember the finish?
Left-hand corner. Absolutely blinding goals. Yeah. He got a bit. The commentators were trying to give him stick. The keeper stick for going down too early.
No,
I'm sorry.
What they were saying as well was that he went with his wrong hand. They kept saying that, and I was like, it's just an amazing finish.
Yeah. I mean, not being funny. 9 times out of 10 as well. The chances are you're shooting across the goal to the bottom left-hand corner.
Yeah.
That, 9 times out of 10, that is where you'll aim. And he's sort of setting himself for it. And he's either outsmarted the keeper or just hit it beautifully in the top left-hand corner. Mm. Wonderful finish.
Van Persie got one back, but to be honest, he got one back with 20 minutes left. They didn't really do anything after that, did they?
No.
Yeah,
no.
I was thinking,
that was a great goal as well. It was wrong foot. Yeah.
It was a very good goal. Nutmegged the defender as well, yeah, so that's probably didn't see it at all. Right, moved on the Thursday, 21st, we had Italy 1-1 with Croatia and Spain thumping Ireland. I think the key thing there was the obviously Spain Ireland and Roy Keane and what have you.
But we were playing footy that night, weren't we? And we turned up at the pub to watch the second half.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm not going to lie, I barely watched any of it because it wasn't even a football match.
It was the silver goal, wasn't it? Just after half time, yeah. Where he just made it look absolutely stupid.
He had a little bit, a few more seconds. All right, I'll stick it there.
They just really were toying with Ireland. I mean, they should really have had about 15 goals, but it's just like they couldn't even be asked to put the ball in the back of the net.
What are your thoughts, guys, on the Roy Keane comments? He said the fans are like, okay, yeah, the fans are singing, the fans shouldn't be applauding that, the fans shouldn't be singing that. Trapattoni's picked everyone based on reputation.
I think he's got a valid point, to be fair. On the fans thing, like, do you know what I mean? They're going to go there, they're going to have a bit of fun. They know that they're in a really tough group anyway, so they probably know they're not going to get out of the group, so they're going to have a bit of fun.
I think that, yeah, criticising fans a little bit harsh.
I think the criticism of Trapattoni, I think, is valid, to be fair. I think he did pick
He does pick on reputations. If they got through that group, then you're saying he's done the right thing. It's only because they failed that you can look back on that and in retrospect say he should have done it.
They failed by quite a margin.
What I'm saying is, say he did what Roy Keane asked him to do and played like people like the Sunderland lads, and then they'd failed miserably, then everyone would be saying, oh, he should never have played him, he should have stuck with this.
True,
like,
I guess he had a...
It's fine when you look back on retrospect at the end of a 4-0 loss. It's very easy for Roy Keane to sit there and say that sort of stuff.
But I think that McLean's had an excellent season on the left for Sunderland, and he didn't even get a minute in the game. It's just ridiculous. I think that's ridiculous, to be fair.
I would have liked to have seen Ireland show a bit more ambition. They just basically like sat back and took their beating against every team that they played, really. I mean, although that's kind of the way they got there through like quite like massively defensive tactics, but in the tournament, I wanted to see them actually go for it.
Fair enough. The Italy Croatia game, Pirlo scoring, brilliant. Was quite good for us. After we talked about it for about 10 minutes on the last show as well.
Keane saved it, I think. You reckon?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Mandzukic.
He's a
bit of a mentalist.
Is he?
One of them.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Right, Group D on Friday night, which we all obviously will remember. UK and France, Menez got the first and then Kabay. But the talking point there was probably the rain.
Yeah.
Oh, so I was watching it in a pub and I was like, they're abandoning it because of rain. And then I've seen the picture since and I was like, fair enough.
I definitely just switched over to... was it ITV or BBC online at 5 o'clock? I wasn't going to do any work for the last half an hour. Hopefully none of the one I work with is listening to this. And just started watching it. And every time, I'm not sure if it was the lightning or the thunder, but every time that one of them hit, the screen went blue.
Really?
So only for about 2 seconds, but it literally went past. And that was because obviously the feed that was inside the stadium. So whatever it was, I must have been lightning, I suppose. It was messing up the electrical systems in the stadium.
Have you seen the best footage as well was outside the stadium where there was people that obviously didn't have tickets just literally running for cover?
Yeah.
Under trees, hang on, aren't you not supposed to run under trees?
Yeah, you do. But it was just zoomed on the ref. There was that last final massive hit of thunder and this huge bolt of lightning. The referee just turned around and went, fuck this. Everyone off. Get the fuck out of here. You could just see it. Last boom, and he went, nah, not up for this. It was unbelievable, wasn't it? But I can't believe they managed to turn the pitch around in an hour.
I know, that's good work, isn't it?
Well, it was fantastic.
Subsequently, they didn't let England or Ukraine train on the pitch because the groundsman was worried that it was going to be sort of. But I mean, it held up well yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, right. The amount of pitches was quite. In England, that like with that amount of rain, it would have been home games cancelled.
But I mean, to be honest, I was well chuffed that it got put back an hour because by the time I got home from work, watched the entire game of that, and then straight into the England game.
The pub and bar owners would have been very happy with it as well. Mm. Yeah. Oh dear, everyone's going to be in my pub for another extra hour after England have won a game. So, all right, let's move on to the England game. Started with Carroll. Which was the big news before, and he did the job.
I'm not being funny. I still get wet every time I see that header.
I love it. The slow-mo replay was quite nice.
He jumped 10 feet great off the tactics. Ground. And, yeah. Oh, it was absolute. I mean, the cross from Gerrard was wonderful.
This is the thing I was going to say. Gerrard he stepped up, hasn't he? And like, his crosses are becoming
happily eating my words. Before
hang on,
the,
is that your Stephen Gerrard?
This is my performance.
Oh, easily
of the week,
easily.
I think it might even be unanimous.
Easily. I mean, three assists in three games, all three utterly crucial.
Brilliant.
The thing when Beckham was in his pomp, the one thing you thought of when he gets that ball and swings it in, and he had the likes of Owen on the end of it, and Owen wasn't bad in the air for a little man. When we had those free kicks as well. Now it's the same. When Gerrard's on those free kicks, you just think that is going to be dangerous. Yeah. He had a couple last.
I swear he has.
I've got a theory on this. Is that for England, for example, he's been given. He's the man. Like he's the captain now. Mm. Before he was like, well, Rio's injured or kind Terry's of injured. Yeah. I mean, take over for a game.
And he didn't get now, to play his position and shifted out to the left.
But now he's in the middle and he's the man. He's Roy Hodgson's man. I think his performance is...
Except he set up every goal from the right, bizarrely.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But, it doesn't matter. He's been knocking some balls through the middle,
hasn't he? He has been absolutely heroic.
The other thing as well... is that you could probably look into it. He hasn't played that many minutes for Liverpool this season.
Yeah.
No. I know he came back at the end, but true. Maybe that's something to do. Because normally, even possibly. Approaching his normal tournaments, Gerrard's been amazing for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Running ragged.
And he's an old
minutes.
Git now.
Yeah. How old is he? 29 now, is he? 30.
No, he's 32. Isn't he?
Is he?
32.
Yeah, he's getting old. I did not know that.
I thought he was older than that.
32.
Oh, but he's getting on. Yeah, 30. He's getting on a bit, but he has been. I mean, but that header for Carroll, from Carroll as well, and the ball, it was a wonderful goal.
It was. Fantastic. It was lovely. And then, so at half time, you're thinking, right, that is.
Yeah, we're coasting here a little bit. Yeah. So.
Didn't quite happen like that, did
well,
it?
Well, no, yeah.
No, I wouldn't have thought. I didn't think we were coasting. I was still on a high from the goal.
We were looking quite comfortable.
I thought. I didn't think they were troubling us too much.
We looked the best in that game in that first half.
But, and the England fans were loving it as well. There was only about 4,000 or 5,000, but all you could hear for about the last 20 minutes was them singing the old White Stripes thing, which they've sort of taken on as their own as well. Going into half time, I was happy with how it was going. And I couldn't see Sweden troubling us that much. And then,
although
Olaf Melberg's
I tweeted at about 30 seconds before that. No, less than that. 30 seconds before that they scored their first goal. I said, if we keep letting, because what we kept doing was letting Zlatan Ibrahimovic pick out killer balls from in and around the edge of the box.
But when he's doing that, he's not picking out himself, is it?
We were letting him. Luckily, they were all shit. And he wasn't finding the killer pass. Mm. But I was like, if we keep letting him do this, eventually he's going to find the killer pass and someone's going to tap it in the back of the net. I mean, it wasn't actually a killer pass. It was a deflection from the free kick and an effective shot.
Yeah.
But it was still, we were not closing him down around the edge of the box and it snuck through and it scored. And it was, I can't remember who it was, but someone tweeted me back saying, at that exact moment, saying, I can't believe you said that.
Yeah.
Like 7 seconds before it went in.
Ibrahimovic put the ball to the right, didn't he? Which...
No, he shot. He shot. And Melberg tapped it in.
He didn't tap it, did he? I don't know if the ball
rebounded
was going
off,
in.
No,
it wasn't going in. It wasn't going
so
in.
So why is that there? The
why is it down? I have no idea. It shouldn't be.
It's not an OG.
Is it an OG?
They've subsequently...
Yeah, because during the game, they flashed it up as a Melberg goal,
yeah, but the second half, they confirmed it was an OG.
Right, good.
Because it was, and it was unfortunate, but he was standing in the offside. He was playing him onside in the first place, Johnson.
And then the header from the free kick. It's a good header, but
how did he get free? He was Johnson's man again.
I don't think he was.
He shouldn't. If Johnson's marking Melbourne
from
that's wrong straight away, which is a little bit worrying. As soon as that goal went in, it was just like, oh, England. And they've said a lot that the spirit's good in the camp and what have you. They didn't look worried. And then Hodgson's getting a lot of credit, and he should be. But you know what we're like. When we're doing well, the manager's brilliant.
Yeah.
As soon as he goes wrong, it's all the manager's fault.
Yeah.
So far this tournament, including the changes he made last night, quite rare that you're in a pub and everyone's going, bring this person on, take that person off. And then a minute later, it happens.
Yeah.
But normally... He's an England manager, not the guy in the pub. So normally you can say, well, he's the manager, so you've got to trust him.
Yeah.
Hodgson's been making those changes, and I've been thinking, well, that's what the guy next to me that has drunk 18 pints wanted him to do. Maybe it's not actually the right decision, even if I think so slightly as myself as well. But so far, every key decision he's made, he's been proved right. Because
fantastic 20 minutes from Walcott, wasn't it?
Brilliant, wasn't it?
And I'm quite glad that he didn't start.
I think that's what his role is in the team. Unfortunately, that's what everyone's saying now, isn't it? All the punters are saying he's not doing himself any favours to start because he is such an impact player.
Yeah.
But I mean, how good was it, the bench we had? yeah. last night. The change we made with Walcott coming on and Andy Carroll coming on.
Yeah.
If we need, if we needed a goal, if we were 1-0 down with 20 minutes left. I still would have been quite happy.
And we got Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's forgetting about it. All right, let's go back to the game quickly. So the Walcott goal, which Jay, I know.
You think it was deflected?
It was. There was a definite deflection.
Jay's not happy.
I will show you video evidence that he flicked his shin pad. I don't know why. Sometimes you get the deciding voice on these things.
Deflected or not?
No deflection.
Hang on. If it did deflect, there's no way nicking off a shin pad is going to change it 10 yards the wrong way.
It went.
There's no way. A slight nick on the shin pad.
What Jay has said is that he reckons that if you watch it again, you can see the defender's shin pad move.
It was Larson's shin pad is actually moved.
I saw that the first time and no one else saw it.
But right, Jay, the whole point is that he's obviously the keeper. He'd have to be aiming to the top right hand corner because that's the way the keeper's gone. For it to deflect that much, it needs to come off a hell of a lot more than a shin pad.
It got a touch. When you say deflect means it's changed the trajectory of the ball. Could have had another tenner out of that.
It didn't change the direction of the ball.
Anyway, it still went straight.
You could tell by his face as well.
He just swung.
It was blind.
He meant to just pile drive down the middle of the goal where a keeper should have just stood there and caught it. That's what he meant to do.
Yeah.
He actually thought, I'm not going to put this in the top right hand corner or the top left hand corner.
I'm going to put it down the keeper's
I'm going to put it straight down the middle where the keeper's.
He's just hit it.
Exactly. Then he hasn't meant to do it, has he?
That's what I said.
No. Oh, right. You just said he meant to put it straight down the middle. I was saying he didn't mean that.
He just meant to hit it.
Of course he... Right, we're moving on.
I'm
more with Dan than I am with you, Jay. Let's get that. I'm having an argument with Dan. I'm still more with him than I am with you.
We'll see.
Stuart's had the last word anyway. That's final. That is done. Right, we'll move on from the Walcott goal.
Great little Welbeck.
See, a lot of people in the pub I was in was like, he didn't mean that, he didn't mean that.
Oh, come on. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Stuart.
Apart from the fact that the replay from the other angle shows that as soon as he's made a connection, he's looking at the far post.
Of course,
that's bang out of all the people saying he didn't mean that. Because that was a class finish. But people have been raving about that goal more. I would still put my favourite goal, Silver Carroll goal, head and shoulders above that. It was a great little bit of techers and a great finish, but that Carroll goal still trumps it for me. But it was a great goal.
Have you watched the move, how that Ingram move started?
Oh, because Walcott drifts out to the left and then drifts into the middle and then drifts out right.
It's a really good goal.
Yeah, it was.
We get the ball. Parker and Gerrard do a little interchange. Parker puts it over to Johnson, I think. Pass it into Walcott. Then he runs it and cuts it. Like, it's a really good team goal.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been many better team goals in the tournament so far.
Lovely little burst from Walcott and a great ball and a great finish.
One little thing, which has actually been passed over by, I don't know if you boys have seen this, England, the FA have actually been charged when we scored the third goal.
All these things are obviously the charges.
The FA, the country's getting charged of UEFA making these charges have been all over Twitter and everyone's been talking about them for obvious reasons, which we'll come on to. But, yeah, England have been charged with...
Pitch invasion. So the subs have never gone on the pitch.
No, fans.
But they didn't go on the pitch.
Well, they've contested it. They've said it was encroachment, but basically everyone stormed forward when Welbeck came towards them, and a couple of them sort of got pushed on. I don't know. I've not seen the footage, so I'm not going to... But the FA have said, look, it wasn't a pitch invasion. There was no malice.
That's not a pitch invasion. We'll show you
a pitch invasion.
But what they've claimed is over exuberance. But to be honest, if people are on the track on the side of the pitch, then it is kind of a pitch invasion. So I don't know.
No, it's not a pitch invasion. They're not on the pitch.
I agree, it's track invasion.
And track invasion, yeah. They shouldn't have done it. You're supposed to stay in your seat, blah, 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 blah.
And get thrown out or anything then.
But a pitch invasion shout is a bit harsh.
Come on, exactly, yeah. And penalising us for over exuberance when we've just scored a winning goal.
How dare you get so excited with 5 minutes to go.
Come on, exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, they find like Russia and stuff like that for.
Yeah, I mean, they were just over exuberantly punching those stewards.
They've also fined Russia for. Croatia. I've got all the fines down, mate. Don't worry, that's why I'm the host, Sean. So back off.
Four off staples.
Been putting my
Stuart, who's the host?
Simon Head.
Not for years. Not for years. All right, we'll move on. Group A, Saturday. So now we're moving on to the last round of the group stages. So, who thought Czech Republic and Greece were going through them?
No, definitely not.
No way.
And especially this time last week when Russia had got a 4-1 win and got a 1-1 draw against the hosts.
Yep.
I don't think any of us thought that Russia would not be going through. Mm. Absolutely
ridiculous. Most of all, Sean Miller. Otherwise, you wouldn't have made such a ridiculous bet.
Well, that's true as well. So, who got the goal? Juracek, is it?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, that's hard work, isn't it?
Yeah.
Juracek.
I've got it here. Juracek, and then Karagounis, who we know got the goal for Greece.
He's been about for decades, hasn't he, Karagounis?
Fair play to Greece as well in that group. Fair play for coming
through.
I know we're about to come on to the next few groups as well and talk about, but this was the only one. The other group B and C as well, both threatened for a few minutes for this exact same thing to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
One
yeah.
goal could have sent, could have crashed out yes. some of the biggest names, and this Definitely. Actually, and it actually happened in Group A. And obviously, yeah. Russia aren't one of the biggest names at the tournament. They're still quite a big name. But
no, you're bang on though. When we recorded last week on the 20th, they were sitting top of their group,
yeah,
and you were thinking they will probably wipe the floor with Greece. To be honest, with
Greece
with the
hadn't looked impressive.
Yeah. No. But I mean,
neither the Czech Republic in either of their first two games, to be fair.
Well, that was the group you looked at and thought, right, there's no real strong team in there. But after the first weekend, you were looking at Russia thinking, I even said, I think Russia have now got a real good chance. I said it on the last show. I'll
manage up to that. Top scorer.
Because they would have been into the quarterfinals as winners against Portugal. Portugal weren't looking in any great shape after Ronaldo had his little problems.
Yeah.
So, all right, so we move on. So, obviously, Czech Republic for his group winners. Greece threw as runners up into the quarterfinals for that one. Group B, which was on the Sunday night, Denmark 1, Germany 2.
So Podolski, the ridiculous thing, one goal from Denmark at 1-0 would have crashed them out. It's unbelievable.
Krondeli got another goal.
There's got to be some interest in him, hasn't there? Yeah,
that's a proper little poacher's header, that was.
He's had a good little tournament.
And then Bender in the 80th minute.
Bender, yep.
And there was a second UEFA charge for Germany fans because they were, and I quote, letting off fireworks, displaying inappropriate banners.
I thought they said bananas.
Inappropriate bananas.
I don't think there's any form of appropriate bananas.
Well, I don't know. Bendy ones. There was a big European Union thing about bananas, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Bendy ones and soft ones. No, it's a bit too
political.
A bit too young, I think. And the rest of the bit around here.
No,
so,
I remember that.
Letting off fireworks, displaying inappropriate bananas and symbols, and inappropriate chanting. So I don't know about the chanting, but obviously they were letting off fireworks when they scored the winner, and the banners. Apparently there were some neo-Nazi banners that were up and whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was their second charge as well, because they got charged before that
for throwing bits of paper. Yeah,
yeah. They were fined 10k for throwing bits of paper versus
Portugal. There's been a lot of chat, I suppose. Or this is sort of links into the Bender. There's been a lot of chat about, and Rio Ferdinand, Vincent Kompany have come out and said about the racism versus the charges versus these sort of charges. But then there was an interesting article in today's Mirror actually saying that. From one of the who's the guy? Is it ex-Chelsea who's been awarded an MBE or CBE for his
Paul Elliott.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right.
And for his services to equality, everything like that. And he said, to be fair though, you've really got to give them credit for acting as quickly and as decisively as they have on all of the issues. He's like, I know that the Bentner thing, there's strict regulations against advertising some of that, and they are there for a reason, and it was a big fine and it is a big punishment, but you've still got to say that any bit of trouble, any bit of wrongdoing, they have clamped down on straight away.
Well, that's true, but it's the scale of things.
Yeah.
So I know this has been mentioned loads, but I'm just going to point out Russia were fined, I've converted this to pounds, £24,300 for illicit banners and fireworks plus a pitch invasion.
What exchange rate is that going on?
Leave it, Dan, come on, I'm the host. Stuart was very clear. Croatia were fined £20,298 for one person pitch invasion and fireworks against Republic of Ireland. And then Bentner gets the £100,000 for.
Yep.
But have they defended it? Have they come out of a statement? Has anyone seen?
No, I don't think so.
Only Paddy Power.
Because the
Paddy Power, the
only way I could see it happening, when I first read it, I thought, right, there must be a standard mandatory 100,000 or 100 euros fine for someone doing what he did. Someone promoting and a one game ban, that's what I presume it is. I don't know. I want someone to look into it.
Right, so if there's a fixed penalty,
then
that,
it's fine.
Then it's fine, yeah. If it's on the back.
And then you can say, well, there should be fixed penalties for any sort of racism with fans. And yes, there should be, but if it's not, there's no framework for that, then it's different.
Because the problem is to have a rule book for different levels of racism or different, how many people. Yeah. If it's only one person doing it, it's X amount. If it's two people,
I would love to know, like, the big wigs of UEFA sitting in a room saying, right, so how much do we fine them for this?
Yeah.
Probably eating appropriate bananas as they do it to keep their energy levels up.
Yeah,
make sure they're still on the ball. But yeah, it was strange. So
put into another slight kind of bit of perspective, the violence that the Russian fans committed, which totaled 184 arrests, 24 people injured.
So this wasn't the stewards on the first game, this was their second game, wasn't it?
That's
after
right,
the second game, yeah.
184 arrests, 24 people injured, I believe so, yeah. They were fined around £17,000 more than Nicholas Bentner. In total, £97,000, €120,000 that was.
But they've
also they're going to do a whip round with those 184 people. And also, they haven't mentioned who the 184 arrests were. I'm sure they weren't all Russian fans, were they?
Cheeky buggers, though, putting England shirts on.
What?
Did they?
Have you not heard about this?
To be fair, Sports Direct were doing a very good offer. They probably couldn't afford their own shirts.
But there's been, I'm not sure if it's any official confirmed, but there's been a lot of rumours about Russian fans putting England shirts on
sort of
and causing trouble. No, and causing trouble. Trying to pin it on England fans. But there's been a lot of good press about the England fans, actually, which is
I've got mates out there, and they've been travelling all around. They are having an absolutely amazing time. They haven't seen a hint of trouble. They're quite sensible guys. One of them got carried home on Saturday night in Donetsk by a load of Ukrainians, because I got a text in the morning saying, Alan got carried home last night from some Ukrainians, and I thought, shit, they've beaten him up. So I text him back, mate, how did it all start? He went, no, the Ukrainians, we met him in a bar, they were great lads, they had to help me carry him to our hotel. I was
I mean, I was genuinely worried. The only time I've been worried is after knocking him out.
Yeah.
But again, there's been no report.
You've got to consider as well is that the game kicked off at 9:45. Ukrainian time.
By the time
the game finished, it was like quarter to one. So I think most of the England fans probably just went home from a whole day of drinking and stuff as well.
And there's been all the extremists, the Ukrainians seem to stay away and didn't seem to cause any trouble as well.
One thing I will say, apparently the campsite in Donetsk is just awful. It's the only cheap place you can stay, but he's been getting, I showed you the text on him, didn't I, Sean? He's just been getting no sleep, because it's like sleeping on concrete. You're still paying like 40, 50 euros, something like that. Sleeping on concrete, there's no aircon or anything like that, and it's like as hot as this.
It's quite hot today.
Even at like 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
You've got the sun on you like this, and you've been sleeping on concrete.
Oh, no.
It sounds awful.
Sounds delightful.
Sounds a bit like that mob that are processing the London.
It's like camping out outside Parliament. But, right, fellas, back to the football quickly. Denmark 1, Germany 2, as we've said. Portugal 2, Netherlands 1. Welcome to the tournament, Cristiano Ronaldo.
That would be my. If I'm not going to have Steven Gerrard, that would be my.
Not a bad hit from Van der Vaart as well, by the way.
It was a great strike.
Great goal.
Cristiano Ronaldo in that game had 12 shots, which is the most ever by a single player in a game in
doesn't surprise me one bit.
How many on target, though?
Not sure.
At least two.
I think the on target bit kind of counts, because he doesn't mind a shot.
He does like a shot, it is true.
Oh, yeah, well, no, that shots on target for Portugal was 8, but that's not just Cristiano Ronaldo.
He had 12 shots, so there's only 2 of them actually in the back of the net.
Two in the back of the net, 2 hit the post.
But I mean, that was a massive game for him, because although they won the game, they won against Portugal, didn't they? 3-2. He was rubbish, wasn't he? He was rubbish.
Yeah.
And he's got so much expectation on him.
And he didn't half bite, did he?
Massively.
I know, like, come massively. On, Cristiano, don't bite, you know. Like,
explain that, Dan, because not.
It was basically, was it the second game?
Second game, Denmark. 3-2,
There was a lot of Messi chance.
Yeah, and, every time he got the ball.
Yeah, and a lot of piss taken. And he came out afterwards and said, he doesn't perform at major tournaments either. And last year he was getting knocked out of the Copa del Rey, or the Copa America. And he was like, he's not very good either.
Pick on me.
What about him, baby?
Right, Group C, Monday. Croatia 0, Spain 1.
You just knew.
I was watching the Italy Ireland game, because I got a mate in my house who claims Irish ancestry. But we were all just saying, oh, you know Spain will just score, like 85th minute, 80, like, and they did, they did.
Yeah,
and
again, the goal, exactly the same as, exactly the same again.
Yeah, that, so Perisic, chance.
Who watched?
What a ball from Modric.
Brilliant play by Modric.
What a Straight to see us.
So did you all watch the Croatia-Spain game?
Yeah, I was.
I watched the first half of the Italy game and the second half.
Sorry, we've lost Danis Stu for a moment.
Yeah,
there's some, that's a fantastic set of pins.
There's some lovely pins. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Football podcast.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. But we're sitting in the sun.
Yeah, we are. That's with you, your pervy mates in the pub. It's the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll give you that. Yeah. Jesus Navas with a goal, which
Jesus.
When I first see
Jesus Navas. Jesus.
Jesus Navas.
Come on, sorry.
Jesus would do.
Yeah, Jesus.
Stuart Jesus Navas or Jesus Navas?
Jesus.
The ruling of Stuart Hall's got a role in the podcast.
That's it.
If there's ever an argument,
it's now going to be one word. One word, Stu. That's what I meant to all of now.
Stuart Hall is very clear. One word.
Jesus.
Jesus. There we go. Italy Ireland. So I watched this game.
Watched
at 1-0, Ireland had a good 15-minute spell where I can't believe they didn't score. They really, really did pressurise them, and Italy just sort of backed off. And at the time, a goal for Ireland and Italy would have been bang in trouble. Yeah. Like, really, really in trouble. Cassano got the goal, and then in the last minute,
poor defending.
Have you seen the Keith Andrews got sent off as well and smashed the ball away? There'll probably be a fine for that as well. Did you see this?
No,
Keith Andrews got sent off for a second bookable, and then as he got sent off, the ball was just before, in front of the dugouts, and he smashed it probably into the top tier.
I saw the highlights of that game. What was the second booking for?
Exactly.
Nothing.
It wasn't a foul. Let alone
a
booking.
Anger in Sean Miller's face.
He does get a bit angry.
He angry.
Sean O'Miller.
Quite. It's my shrieks coming out.
But yeah, Italy didn't look any great shakes. They really didn't. Perlo was quite quiet and they backed off. Their defence looks quite slow as well. I think it's not the game for Carroll.
Chiellini apparently
he's
is out.
Oh, is he? Hamstring. Their defence looks like we can get him.
I'm going to jump in on that though. Is it not a game for Carroll?
I don't think so.
Should we finish off
Carroll to jump in on it.
Yeah. Well, should we finish off this little bit? Because I think that should be a little debate.
Well, we're going to preview all the quarterfinals. Right. So, and then in the last minute, have you seen your Balotelli goal?
And the reaction from Balotelli.
I've got a Balotelli almost naughty boy
of the week. Because apparently, Balotelli has now said that he wasn't going to shout at the manager, but the manager's taken that he was. Because the manager came out yesterday and says Balotelli should, shut his mouth and do this. He's had a little go at him, but when they won that game and it was looking, and me and my mates were talking about, if England get through, so it's either Spain or Italy. I said, if we play Italy, you can guarantee Balotelli will be on the bench. He would have thought he will come on and he will either score and win the game or do something outrageously stupid that will win us the game.
With all due respect, Jim, that's not exactly the hardest prediction to make.
No, but you just
because
know
that's what he does.
You just know
that
it's going to happen.
He does.
So yeah, you're right to bring that up. As soon as he scored, he was about to shout.
Leonardo Bonucci came on for Chiellini,
and that is my performance of the week.
Bonucci,
for shutting Balotelli up. Because if he'd had a massive go, he probably might have been dropped, and then he wouldn't get to play against us.
Apparently,
and I'm looking forward to. I've never seen Balotelli play in the flesh either. So
apparently, Bonucci backs up what Balotelli was trying to say, because he said he started saying something in English.
To the Irish fans
or the Irish players or someone.
Yeah.
So he just thought, right, I know he's going to say something stupid. Put my hand over his mouth, shut him up.
But then Buffon, at the end of the game, Buffon stopped him again from going at
to the actual manager, yeah.
Really?
He's obviously got beef with the manager for being dropped or whatever.
Speaking of,
if you are going to go 30 yards clear and then just stop on the edge of the area...
yeah, you are going to get yourself substituted.
Speaking of Mario Balotelli...
Yeah, the Dan Book review is going on another week.
No. I've read the book. I've actually read the entire book, cover to cover. I finished it off last night. I wanted to give some proper highlights of it, but I thought just a little teaser.
Okay.
I find out in the book.
Tease me, baby.
I find out in the book, in his diary, sorry, the reason for his love of fireworks.
Right, so for people that don't know, Dan has been tasked with reading the Mario Balotelli fictional autobiography. The Secret Diary of Mario Balotelli. For about the last 4 or 5 weeks, he's going to be coming back to us with some updates. It's now the update, so sorry. A little bit of background there for people who might not have listened last week, or the week before. All right, what
but,
we got?
No, well, I said, I'll find out, I'll give you all the information next week. I'm going to give you the whole lot. But as a little teaser, I find out the reason for his love of fireworks.
Yep.
He hosts, after being told off by Mancini to try and play it cool, keep a low profile for a while, he decides to throw a nice, polite, civilised dinner party. safe to say it doesn't quite go to plan. He, we find out, I find out his answer to reducing crime in Manchester, because he's worried about the amount of crime, he comes up with a cunning plan. I also find out that his love of poetry and children's books.
Excellent.
Standard.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he was going to shout at the Irish fans.
Very true. And also his attempts at hiding a political fugitive. And his love of aviation. So all will be revealed next week.
I can't wait.
Let's move on quickly. let's go with Sweden, France first.
Shock.
Yeah, a bit of a shock. And the goals, Larsson, Lashley's in, and the Ibrahimovic, probably goal of the tournament, would you say?
So far, in my opinion.
Yeah. Better than the bicycle kick. Balotelli's.
That wasn't a bicycle kick from Balotelli.
They were both the same sort of technique and the same sort of scissor Centers. Kick volley. But yeah, no, it would be my, because he was almost outside the area. He was on the edge of the area.
Just on Ibrahimovic, we all know that he's a bit of a he's a big lad.
Did you see him with the goal kick with Joe Hart?
He's a big lad.
Black belt karate as well.
Oh my God, the guy is an absolute monster. The way he shrugged off Terry and Lescott like they were little rag dolls. He goes a bit sort of casual, then they'll nick a ball away a little bit. Then he'll just be like, "Well, I'm not having this."
You've angered me now. I'd like my ball back.
Launched them off, and then like, getting the. I mean, the guy is an absolute monster.
But the point I was making after the second goal went in, I don't know what had happened between him and Joe Hart.
I don't think it was anything.
He was a snarling, horrible man. He looked like a snarling camel.
I thought I was. Bit cheeky after that. A corner happened, he nicked some of his water as well.
And then threw it away. I didn't see that, but when I saw the highlights and saw this bit, someone was like, oh yeah, he did this as well. So
I'm sorry, but anyone that brings out an app called I Am Zlatan that charges £12.99 and it's basically a story all about him and what his tattoos mean and his life.
Rio Ferdinand needs to calm down with his app as well. True. Every 2 minutes he's like, my app, but apparently it's not working. Footballing reasons. Definitely footballing reasons, Stuart. Yes or no to that joke?
Footballing reasons.
Right, we'll talk quickly about the England game. First half was rubbish.
A lot to talk about, really, is it?
Yeah, we got the job done, didn't we?
Yeah.
We absolutely got the job done. No one
more.
Particularly played brilliant. I thought Gerald Parker worked very hard again.
Do you know what annoyed me on? I think it was Monday. A couple of lads that we worked with were in the gym, obviously, and they were saying, I think one of them was a Chelsea fan, Liverpool fan, and said, oh, that's why we never signed him. You can tell Parker is completely out of his depth international level. And I went,
hang
what?
About.
Oh wait, hang on. I've
only got one reservation.
Jordan Henderson.
His passing's not great.
I disagree.
You don't want him in there to frame 20-yard passes. Tapping the ball to Gerrard. John Terry played a lovely throw.
Oh my God!
And to be fair, John Terry had a very good game, apart from one mistake, which led to the incident, which he then cleared off his over the line.
Do you know what? I think Lescott has had a fantastic tournament.
He hasn't had anything wrong yet.
Nothing
wrong.
I've never been his biggest fan, and I know obviously he must have had a good season playing. Man City won the title, but he's got company alongside him. But I think he has been one of our best players so far.
I don't think Glenn Johnson's done much wrong as well.
Disagree.
Maybe in the first game,
and the second game. Playing him onside.
Yeah.
And putting the ball in the back of the net.
He was coming out.
Like, they're not quick enough, though, mate. It's not good enough. At international level, if the line's coming out from a corner, you get the fuck out. You know what I mean?
If Olaf Melberg was his man for the second goal.
It was.
And just agree with me, and now you're turning on him as well.
He leaves gaping holes. Gaping holes at the back, and I think it's a problem. He loves getting forward, he doesn't like getting back quick enough.
So, question for you. Before yesterday's game, I wrote these notes for yesterday's game. Would you have rather played potentially Italy in the quarterfinal? So, top in our group, Italy in the quarterfinal, and then probably Germany in the semi-final, or would you have rather played Spain in the quarterfinal, and then either Portugal or Czech in the semi-final? What would you have rather done?
I don't think we're getting past Spain.
Yeah,
I don't think we're getting past Spain, so let's just keep it going for a bit longer.
But either way, if we somehow won this tournament, but I'm just saying, if we somehow won the tournament, we've done it the hard way, haven't we? Because there's some brilliant games.
Why I love the 16-team European Championship. Every team is good.
It's a good point. We've got Czech Republic, Ireland, Portugal on Thursday night. So if you listen to the podcast on its first day, that's the game tonight. Can't see past Portugal, to be honest. especially if they turn up like they did the last game.
Yeah, or if he turns up.
If he turns up.
Yeah, no. Germany, Greece.
Yeah, you can't see past Germany on that.
No,
one, really.
Right. Spain, France, can't see past Spain. No, England, Italy, can't see past Italy. But
that's,
I mean,
do you know what? That's a proper 50-50 game.
That is a 50-50.
Do you think? You think neutrals? Do you think someone in Spain, someone in Germany, someone in France will not look at that and think Italy should go through?
Yeah, on last night's performance,
but they haven't been convincing either.
They haven't. No, they've not been convincing. They drew Croatia, Jewish Spain, and they only just beat Ireland. Like I said, at 1-0, they were really in trouble. So they could draw all the games.
And it's been quite highly reported that this is the worst Italian team they've seen for years and years and years. In Italy, that's the reason.
The
World Cup in 2000 and when were they rubbish? They went out of group stages.
Yeah. No, but they still have quality players.
Player for player,
this is one of the worst teams they've had in a long time. Because Italian teams have been magnificent for years.
Yeah. You know who else might score? Who's the West Ham lad that came on?
Diamante.
He'll probably score as well against us. But all right,
I didn't realise, just going on how well England have actually done to get out where they are, I didn't realise until it was said in the commentary that we've never won an opening game. We've never beaten Sweden in an international tournament. And we've never beaten the hosts.
Yeah.
And we've done two out of three.
I think we've done two out of three.
That's the best summary. Yeah. That's the best summary you can give. To finish with 7 points on top of the group against the host nation, one of the favourites, and our bogey team is fantastic.
Plus, new manager, a lot of injuries when you think about it. Big players like Lampard, Cahill.
We've been very
lucky with injuries during the tournament. We've been very lucky.
But I mean, aren't you quite glad that Barry got injured?
Oh, hell yeah. I was always glad.
But say we went out and lose 3-0 to Italy, are we still going to look on the positives, or would it then be like, oh, we blew it against Italy?
I honestly think we will look at those positives.
A little bit of intelligence to the football argument, you have to look at it and say, right, what we did. Yeah, well, probably, maybe. And probably when I'm in the pub or whatever, then it might be a little bit different, and I've had a few. But at the moment, I think I genuinely look back at it, I think, right, he's building something. Yeah. And the reason they brought Hodgson in wasn't for this tournament. The reason they brought Hodgson in is for the longer plan. For your thing up in Burton and what have you. So, all right, me and Sean were saying earlier, you'd be looking at Portugal, Germany, Spain, and hopefully us. That would mean the semi-finals.
Very, very tasty semi-finals.
Spain, Portugal. Yeah. Massive derby. Yeah. England, Germany would be amazing in the semi-finals. And part of me would even like Germany to go through. So that would be the four in the semi-finals.
Would be
amazing.
England, Germany, Spain, Portugal. What a ridiculous couple of fixtures!
Genius, wouldn't it?
And when are they? The midweek.
They start Thursday. So we've got Czech Republic, Portugal Thursday.
No, the semis.
The semis are Wednesday and Thursday.
And the final on Sunday.
England's semi-final, if we got there, would be in Poland, Warsaw, which is about the easiest place to get in Poland. So you know that for 5,000, 6,000 fans.
It's going to grow.
Sean's already said it. He'll fly out with me.
Yeah.
John Day's thinking about it. I put you on an email earlier.
I'm thinking about it.
We're not going to think about that at the moment. No. But one thing me and Sean did say is out of those semi-finals, you'd have thought that there would be at least one shock. England, Italy, probably maybe no shocks because it's either way. But I can't see Spain, Germany, Portugal all going through. Although on paper you would think so.
I think as much as the Czechs haven't played well, Portugal could be the one.
When you factor in the fact it goes extra time and penalties. If it goes penalties, it's up for anyone, isn't it?
Yeah, right?
Imagine Germany, Greece goes penalties.
This is it now, isn't it? This is what it's all about. The quarterfinals is where it starts. We've got there. We've done the hard work. We've got there. Now every game now is going to be an absolute blinder, isn't it?
I love this tournament.
Yeah. The one group of people that might have been a little bit disappointed that we're not staying in Donetsk and playing Spain is the England fans already out there, because they're in Donetsk at the moment. If we finish runners up, the quarterfinal would be in Donetsk, the semi-final would have been in Donetsk, and then the final would have been in Kiev. As it is now, they've got to get from Donetsk to Kiev, and they're having problems. My mates out there now are like, then they've got to get from Kiev to Poland, and then from Poland back to Kiev.
Yeah,
so it's going to add about another £1,500 onto their already expensive holiday. But, I mean, I don't care about that.
No, okay,
because I'm not out there, but I will be going out there on Sunday. I've got my flights booked.
Exciting.
Sunday morning. I should be in Kiev City Centre about 10 in the morning.
Let's talk about it. Let's just talk about the England team for that game then. You don't reckon it's a game for Carroll?
I don't.
This is the one thing I'll say on this, right?
I'm basing this on the Italian defender. I think if we're not balls, one thing the Italian defenders can do is head those balls away.
True, but I think Carroll's better. I think he's better ahead than those. I think he's an absolute monster.
But I mean, Welbeck, in the first half, Welbeck was our only player that actually got the ball and didn't give it away.
Yeah.
Pretty much every other player. And he, to be fair, I know we've criticised Ashley Young, well. But he got into a decent position a couple of times yesterday and put decent balls in the first time.
No. This is my big issue, right? So after the first game, I said, the one thing we did really well in the first game against France was get the ball in the box. In the wide areas. We got the ball into the positions in the wide areas. But what had happened is because Welbeck was dropping off. And what Welbeck has done fantastically so far in this tournament is drop off and link
hold
up the
ball,
play.
Yeah, and link up, usually so, in the channels as well. Yeah.
So he's
quite
linked,
often you'll see him down in the channels.
That's what I mean. So he's linked up the play, fed it out, we've got the ball wide, they've looked up and there's no one in the box. And the problem is that's why I thought our best performance so far has become with Carroll and Welbeck. Because what Welbeck has done, Welbeck's dropped off. But what I'm saying is that the problem with last night and what I said before the game when we were chatting about it,
yeah.
Was that what Welbeck has done so far this tournament fantastically is drop off and link up play. What Rooney does fantastically is drop off and link up play.
Okay. So I think Welbeck can adapt that, and I think Welbeck can spin off the last man. Second half yesterday, a couple of times they were linking up quite nicely, both running at the man.
Rooney was messing it up. Rooney was.
You've got well, yeah, this is like, okay. He's been out for 5 weeks. He's not played in it, and you go into a tournament.
The thing that annoys me is that the commentator's gone, well, he hasn't played a game for a few weeks. His touch has got to be off. It's not like he hasn't kicked a ball. What are you talking about? He's still been training every day.
Yeah. The one thing I will point out from last night, watching it in the boozer, typical sort of drunk, loutish England fan. When Rooney went, he went through in the second half, and it looked like he was going to get through, and then he sort of got caught. As he got caught up, someone just went, "You fat bastard!" He hadn't even mucked up the chance yet. Yeah. He was still in on goal, and someone just went, "You fat!"
He was like,
"Go on, Rooney! Go on, Rooney! Come on, England! Oh, you fat!" And it was just like, "Oh man, come on!"
No, he should. I mean, he was through though. It was a real lack of pace he showed there.
I don't know, whatever.
But yeah, maybe he just didn't have the pace. But I just think that
we haven't got anything to fear going into Sunday,
no,
have we? We honestly haven't.
Carroll looks so up for it though, didn't he? He looks so up for it.
In that game,
I thought he didn't put a foot wrong. No. I thought he held up. The ball gets pumped up to him 70 yards. He brings it down.
Yeah.
His touch has got better.
He covered so much in the pitch as well.
Rooney would get.
And he did cover a lot. And I just think that Rooney peeling off, linking up the play, feeding it to the channels with Carroll on the last man. Whipping the ball in, getting that ball in the box, I'd love to see, as much as Welbeck has been one of the best players we've had so far, if it's the choice of either Rooney or Welbeck, even though we're going to have to play Rooney, I'd stick Carroll up there. I think he'll do the business.
It's nice to have these options.
It's a bit of a headache because they both can be. I think Welbeck and Carroll can be impact players as well.
Yeah.
Like Dan
said, very good point. And to be honest, I'd completely forgotten about him. Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah,
he came on against France and he looked quite lively. And the big thing I said a couple of weeks ago before the tournament started, that we looked a lot sharper when he came on against Belgium.
That's
in
true.
That friendly yep. than we had, because he's got so much movement.
Well, that's it. And there's every chance that, I mean, Rooney, I don't think his touch should be off because he's been playing him, but his fitness might be, because it's bloody hot about that.
90 minutes pretty much.
Well, yeah, he played 80 or 80 or whatever. But this is my thing. If you know, with 15 minutes to go, if Rooney hasn't been performing and he's tiring out a bit,
Before the tournament, the one thing we were all saying, especially after the two friendlies where it finished 1-0, everyone was saying, if England go 1-0 down, you're not sure. That you think they'll be in trouble. Maybe against France, if we had gone 1-0 down now, after the Sweden game, we're suddenly like 1-0 down against Italy with 10 minutes left. Don't matter. Theo, Carroll, Defoe. Like, we've got options, which is absolutely brilliant. Right, fellas, we're getting near the end. Has anyone got anything else to mention? I think we've comprehensively covered the group stages.
The only thing that I found funny earlier today was the Ukrainian coach.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going
to
mention.
Blocking's post-match comments to one of the journalists. He felt that the questioning had become a bit personal.
Yeah,
and turned around to
criticism of some of his players, didn't he?
Yeah, and turned around and said to the journalist that he should come outside and have a man talk.
I love that phrase. A man talk.
Respect my job. Let go this one. He said, respect my job. Let's go this one-on-one. You want to go with me? Let's have a man conversation. I played football. Did you play football? I thought it was just fantastic. But if you're a man, go with me, one-on-one. I don't think he was asking out on a date. I think he was at the new. Apparently, the journalist politely declined.
To be fair, as
well.
He reminds me of what's the old rush code? Gus Hiddink.
Yeah, he looks like Gus Hiddink, doesn't he?
Right, quickly, no one got the England-Sweden result dead on. I was closest with a 3-1, but we all went for wins. So no one gets any points. England-Italy, let's have your predictions. Starting with Dan Silva.
2-1.
We go clockwise. 2-1.
England.
Sean?
I was going to go for the same, but...
We'll do 90 minutes, so if you think it's going to be a draw 90 minutes...
You go on, I'll go 1-0, 1-0, 90 minutes.
1-0, Jay?
I'll go 2-0, England.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Come on. I'm going to say 0-0.
Are you?
Yeah.
It's
going to
be a tight game, I think, but I've just gone
2-0,
so it's not that tight, is it, really?
Anyway. It's going to be a really tight game where one team scores a couple and the other one doesn't score at all. But, yeah, I am going out there, so I might try and get some recordings and stuff. But, yeah.
Get some opinions and stuff.
Yeah, from the fans. From the fans. I could do that.
That'd be a good shout. Yeah. Maybe try and do it before you've had a few.
Yeah.
Because as we found out after the podcast...
Come on.
You make stupid bets. Like.
Although, to be fair, I won't be talking on it, so I don't care. I won't mind listening to you sound like a dick.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, it'd be quite entertaining for you. Probably just you. There is a lot of domestic news. To be honest, fellas, we'll park it. We'll come back to it. Maybe next week we'll do.
Next week we'll have had one semi final, won't we? Yeah.
We'll have had all the quarterfinals and one semi final. We'll be on the eve of the semi final because we record Wednesdays, don't we?
Wednesday night, Thursday night.
Next week we'll do exactly what we've done today. We'll go through any news and we'll review all the quarterfinals, which means only four games. We should have a little bit. Well, you always say this. We don't need anybody's face for anything, do we?
That's what happens. Like,
it's guys in a pub chatting football, which is what we've always said it is. So if we run out of time,
Bloody love football.
Right, get on the website www.footballpodcast.co.uk. There's loads of stuff on there, man. There's a classic Gazza moment, which Sean was chucking away earlier on.
I was as well.
I'd completely forgotten about it. That'll be immediately below this
show. Don't go, Abel. I'll pay your wages.
It involves Paul Gascoigne, a window, a TV camera crew, and Abel Xavier. That's all you need to know.
And a very serious conversation turned slightly comical thanks to Gazza.
How are you saying this one?
Brolito. What is Jogo, it? Actually? Well, it's just the Brazilian motto.
Sean speaks Spanish.
Jogo Benito.
Didn't
it's
know
a beautiful
that, no.
game.
Okay.
So it's a
beautiful
that.
Fight. You sort of got
That was clever. Sean has put a massive scrap on there, which is well worth a look.
Yep.
Nothing to report, which is a Ukrainian TV presenter trying to finish a TV interview. Well worth a look as
Bless
well. Michael Coxon, after badgering from us, did get Vanilla Ice on there, what's his name?
Kevin Kilbane.
Kilbane singing Vanilla Ice, which looks a bit ironic now when you look at it, but that's all on there. Banter@footballpodcast.co.uk if you want to email us. Facebook, www.facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. All complaints,
at Simon Head.
It's the same. Follow us on Twitter, @footballpodcast, and as I mentioned, the website is www.footballpodcast.co.uk. One last thing before we go, chaps. We've got some more reviews.
Oh, sweet.
Nothing to sneeze at, Dan. First one, Lee Fawn. Great show. We'll give the show 5 stars if Coxon left the game.
Yep.
And he gave it 4. I don't know if that's one of Mike's friends. I hope it's not. The best football-related show ever from Adam Sargent. Someone stopped Dan talking about Spurs. In brackets, from a Spurs fan. Good show, all round, very entertaining. Professional description is generous. Fair enough. That's Adam Sargent. Thank you very much for that. And then Benjani84, a good bunch of lads having a laugh.
Oh,
and he's more there.
He
has given us 5 stars. So that's Ben and Max Stoke Park Golf Course. So if you live near Max Stoke Park Golf Course,
Max Stoke Park Golf Course,
give Ben some money.
I think we might have to change the professional bit on the iTunes.
They've given it to us.
They gave it.
Yeah.
Really?
Idiots.
Who told you that?
I don't know. I thought that's all. No.
Oh, I've just made that up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Show that
stuff up, didn't he?
But your man Ben John is a Villa fan as well.
Yeah.
So we don't like him.
Yeah. I like him.
Anyway, we will be back next Thursday with a show to round up all the quarterfinals.